We begin in Numbers chapter 23. We'll go all the way to the beginning of chapter 25. But we begin in Numbers chapter 23. The doctrine of Balaam. Compromise is actually a serious matter in the eyes of God. Compromise can involve two parties in which they settle differences between them, or it can involve just one side completely giving in to the other side. But to make a compromise work, you actually have to have the authority to make such a compromise. Let me give you an example. A teacher assigns a research paper. It's supposed to be 10 pages long, but all of the students turned in their papers and each and every one only wrote 5 pages. So, inquiring, teacher, of course, gave all of them a failing grade because they failed to accomplish the purposes, but both students and parents objected, saying that the students and parents had all gotten together and agreed to compromise. The students did not have to write 10 pages. The parents agreed to compromise and allow all their children to write only 5 pages. Now, they expected the teacher to honor their compromise. However, the parents did not have the authority to make that compromise, and the teacher continued with the failing grades for all the students. We do not have the authority to compromise the Word of God. The issue with the doctrine of Balaam is that he did not have the authority to orchestrate a compromise on the part of Israel. But he succeeded in doing so in spite of that, and it turned out very badly. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14 is where we have the term, the doctrine of Balaam. And it says there, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there, speaking of one of the churches, this is in one of the letters to the 7 churches in Revelation, thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Both of those things were contrary to the Word of God. And that was the doctrine of Balaam. Teach the enemy how to coerce the people of God into a compromise. Well, let's look at what happened. Balaam and Balak met. Remember, Balak kept wanting Balaam to come. Balaam eventually comes. He had the trouble with the talking donkey and all of that on the way. Numbers chapter 22, verse 36, just back a few verses from the beginning of chapter 23. Numbers chapter 22, verse 36, and when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him. Now, Balak wanted to know what took Balaam so long to get there, verse 37. And Balak said to Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? So Balaam responds and says, I'm here. What are you talking about? I'm here. Verse 38, Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Then Balaam explains to Balak that he does not have the ability to say whatever. He's restricted to what God puts in his mouth. Verse 38 continues, Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. So Balak took Balaam to a high place where there was a shrine to the idol Baal. It was a place overlooking a valley where the Israelites were camped, where Balaam could see all the Israelites. Verse 39. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kirjath-Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. So now we're going to be in chapter 23 and look at Balaam's first attempt. There will be three attempts at cursing Israel. The first attempt begins in chapter 23 and verse 1. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here seven altars and prepare me here seven oxen and seven rams. Remember, they're at a very high point, but there is an altar, there is an idol there to Baal and an altar to him. It's an odd place to build altars to God. Nevertheless, he wants seven altars to make an impression on God. That's his point here. He wants to make an impression on God to help influence God in a positive way so that he'll give him the words he wants to say. And so, verse 2, Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram, two animals on every altar, 14 animals altogether. Verse 3, Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure, the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell him. So perhaps if Balak stood by the sacrifices, God would look favorably on Balak and give Balaam the words that Balak once said. Balaam's already in the high places of Baal. What's the significance of a high place? When the temple was built in Jerusalem, it was put at the highest point of the city, actually just north of what was the city of David, but it was the high point. Later, when the Israelites would build synagogues, this would be after the Babylonian captivity, every time they built a synagogue in a city, they would try to obtain the highest point in the city to build the synagogue. Later on, 300s AD, when churches began building buildings, they did the same thing. They sought the highest place in the town to build the church building. But if they could not obtain that high place, they began building steeples so that wherever you were in the town, you could see where the church was. True story, that's where steeples came from. That's the purpose of a steeple. It's not a symbol of a church. It's an identification mark of where our building is located so everybody can see it. So that's the significance of a high place. Wherever a religious institution wanted to go, they wanted to be as high as possible. I guess so everybody could see it, so it was recognizable. So they're at this high place. God met Balaam at this high place. At the end of verse 3, notice, Balak went to an high place. He's already at a high place, but he goes as high as he possibly can to meet with God. Verse 4, and God met Balaam, and he, Balaam, said unto God, unto God, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. So in verse 6, he returns to Balak, and this is what happens. Verse 6. He returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt offerings, and he and all the princes of Moab, and he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob. All of this is what God wanted him to say to Balak. Come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed, or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? And here comes the blessing. Verse 9. For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Then he indicates there's a lot of Israelites. Verse 10. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? And Balaam would be happy to have an end to his life similar to what is in store for the Israelites. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. So apparently, God has something wonderful in store for Israel, and Balaam says, I'd be glad to have an end like the end plan for Israel. Well, obviously, Balak was not happy. Numbers chapter 23, verse 11. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. You've done exactly the opposite of what I hired you to do. Balaam defended his actions, verse 12, and he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? I can't help it. I told you. I can only say what the Lord tells me to say. Well, Balak wasn't finished. He wanted Balaam to try again. So there's going to be a second attempt. So in verse 13, Balak takes Balaam to another high place, different place. Verse 13, Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place from whence thou mayest see them. Now, you won't be able to see all of them, but you'll be able to see enough of them that you can curse them. Verse 13 continues, thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shall not see them all, and curse me them from thence. I guess the reason he took them to the first high place was because you could see the whole nation down in the valley. But now, different high place, didn't work there. Maybe we need to get away from the idol Baal. Maybe that'll help. So we'll go to a different high place. You can't see all of them, but most of them, that'll do. Verse 14, and he brought him into the field of Zophim to the top of Pisgah. And they repeat the 7 altars. 7 were altars. Built 7 altars, offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And so once again, Balak stands beside the altars while Balaam sought the word of God. Verse 15, he said unto Balak, stand here by thy burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say thus. Now we find out what he says the second time. Verse 17, and when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent? Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In reference to the first blessing, God said he's going to bless Israel. He doesn't lie. That's what's going to happen. Verse 20, behold, I have received a commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So here's the blessing. The second blessing, verse 21. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God hath brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Is there such a thing as a unicorn? We don't really know what it looked like. Was it a horse, or was it a prehistoric being? Well, we call them prehistoric. There's no such thing as prehistory. Did you know there were dinosaurs on the ark? Absolutely. Somebody said, well, you can't get those big things on the ark. Well, you can take young ones. Not a problem. Anyway, whatever the unicorn was, it was strong. For he says, God, in verse 22, God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Must have been a pretty strong animal. Verse 23, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what hath God wrought? Well, what has God wrought? Verse 24, behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. Woo! Balak was not happy again. Verse 25, and Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them. In other words, will you just stop talking? If you can't curse them, don't bless them. Just stop talking. Don't say anything. And Balaam answered in verse 26, and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do? I told you. Told you so. So Balak has a change of heart, and he decides he wants Balaam to try again. Third time is a charm, right? Verse 27, he takes him to another high place. Must have been hills all around where the Israelites were camped. Verse 27, Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. Balak just doesn't get it. Well, he blesses God from that place. Blesses Israel from that place. He blesses Israel from that place. Maybe he'll curse Israel from that place. It's worth a try, right? Verse 28, Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looketh toward Jeshimon. Now, Balaam goes along. Request seven more altars. Here we go again. What is the definition of a fool? Doing the same thing over again and expecting a different outcome. Verse 29, Balaam said unto Balak, build me here seven altars and prepare me here seven bullocks and seven rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. This time, Balaam changes his approach. He does not consult with God. Chapter 24, verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek enchantments. Now, that's his term. Obviously, God is not giving enchantments. He's giving words of blessings. But remember, Balaam was an enchanter. So he would use that term. Anyhow, look what happens. Verse 2, Balaam seeking to speak without consulting God. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And this happened. The Spirit of God came upon him. He didn't have to consult with God. The Holy Spirit just came on him. And he ended up blessing Israel the third time. Verse 3 of chapter 24, he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. It's an interesting description of how the Holy Spirit kind of took charge of his life. And here comes the blessing. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are, they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of lime aloes. Now, lime aloes is technically one word, and it's a type of a tree. It's the trees, the fruitful, flourishing trees that were growing by the riverside. Verse 6 continues, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters, he shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. There's the unicorn again. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up. Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Which God had promised through Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. Balak is beside himself. Verse 10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Oh, it's the Lord. You know what you could have had? And the Lord is the one, the Lord is the reason you didn't get it. Balaam answers, verse 12. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sentest unto me, saying, right from the very first time you sent the messengers to me, I told you this is going to happen. Verse 13, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind, but what the Lord saith, that will I speak. That's what he said back at the beginning. You can't pay me enough. I have to say what God gives me to say. Verse 14, and now behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And Balaam is compelled to give a profound prophecy. Verse 15 of chapter 24, he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. He hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. And here's the prophecy. He refers to the Messiah. Verse 17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Then he says he's going to conquer, and Israel, the Messiah is going to conquer, and Israel will be victorious. Verse 17 continues, and shall smite the corners of Moab. Who is Balak? The king of what country? Moab. Ooh. The Messiah shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth, and Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Then he says in verse 19 that the Messiah will prevail against the Moabites. In verse 20, he says he will prevail against Amalek. In verse 21, he says he will prevail against the Kenites. In fact, in the following verse, verse 22, he will use Asher to prevail against the Kenites. And then in verse 23 and 24, he will prevail against Chittim, Asher, and Eber. And then Balaam was finished, and he went home, verse 25. The next thing we see is Israel in a compromising situation. Numbers chapter 25, verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. How did that happen? Verse 2, the Moabites continued to worship their idols, and they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And then Israel joined in. Israel, verse 3, joined himself unto Baal Peor. Now, Peor is the place, and Baal Peor was a place where Baal was worshipped by the Moabites. And now the Israelites are joining in, worshipping the Moabites in very worshiping with the Moabites in very immoral ways, which obviously made the Lord angry. At the end of verse 3, it says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Why did Israel do this? Go over to Numbers chapter 31 and verse 16. Numbers chapter 31 and verse 16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. But note the substance of Balaam's doctrine, of his counsel. He did not teach the Israelites to compromise with the enemy. He taught the enemy how to entice Israel into compromise. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. In the letter to Pergamos, he says this, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak. He didn't teach the Israelites. He couldn't. He was forbidden. Every time he opened his mouth, he blessed Israel. But when he got away from that, he privately met with Balak and said to him, "You know what you can do? These people are vulnerable. I've seen it happen before. You give them the right influence, and they'll compromise." We must beware not only of weaknesses within ourselves that would incline us to compromise with worldly people. We must beware of worldly people who would claim to be our friends, whose design is to draw us away from the Word of God. Israel was not cautious enough, and it turned out very badly. We must be cautious. Yes, there are weaknesses within ourselves, and we are subject to failures. We've talked about that this morning. But what we may not be aware of is some people who pretend to be close to us. Operative word, pretend. Some people who pretend to be close to us may have some ulterior motives in mind and want to draw us away from the Word of God. Let's beware. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson and this challenge, this reminder. We can be influenced in the wrong way. Help us to be cautious and help us to be strong. Whatever that unicorn was, it was strong. Lord, you're strong like the unicorn. Give us that strength of will to be faithful to your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.